G'day, this is the Goosebumps from Australia.
G'day.
On Little Raleigh Radio, and you're listening to Damaged Goods.
Damaged Goods!
Hello, you are listening to Damaged Goods on Little Raleigh Radio, and I am your host this evening. My name is Matt Dunn, and welcome to episode number 198 of the show. And tonight, I'm excited. We have a brand new interview with a band out of Portland, Oregon. They are called Lithics, and they're on a great label called Kill Rock Stars. And I caught up with the band the other day. They played a free show at a place. Hello, you are listening to Damaged Goods on Little Raleigh Radio. And I am your host this evening. My name is Matt Dunn, and welcome to episode number 198 of the show. And tonight, I'm excited. We have a brand new interview with a band out of Portland, Oregon. They are called Lithics, and they're on a great label called Kill Rock Stars. And I caught up with the band the other day. They played a free show at a place, if you're in North Carolina, a place around here you may already be aware of, called Bull City Records, a great record store in Durham, North Carolina. And They played an in-store show there for free, and it was very hot outside. It was like, actually, the heat index, it had to have been like 100 degrees, but if not more. But it was a great show, and they were on tour with Stephen Malcolmus from Pavement, and he's now touring with his band, Stephen Malcolmus and the Jicks, and Lithics were opening for them. But they had a day off, and they graciously decided to play a free show in Durham, and I was thankful for that because I think it was the first time that the band had played in North Carolina. And yeah, there's so many good bands from the Pacific Northwest. And Lithics, they just came out with a new album called Mating Surfaces, and they really encompass the best examples of sort of the, I don't know, I know genres are kind of annoying buzzwords sometimes, but they really do encompass the best, to me, the best features of the sort of the post-punk revival that's just sort of been ongoing for years now at this point. They have the rhythms and some of the lyrics and sort of the style of the band. It kind of reminds me of Wire. I'm not going to say it's exactly like Wire, but I think you can certainly see the parallels there. And of course, bands like The Fall and Gang of Four, all that classic good stuff you know and love. So yeah, that's really, I know that I feel like I just let the bands speak for themselves. So I caught up with the bass player Bob of Lithics after the show the other day. So I'm going to quit babbling. So I'm going to go ahead and play this interview with Lithics, and we will be back here in a little bit. Hey, this is Matt with Damaged Goods Radio, and I'm here at Bull City Records in Durham, North Carolina. And a band called Lithics just played a free in-store show at Bull City Records. And who do I have with me here right now?
Hi, I'm Bob, and I play bass guitar.
Where is the band Lithics from?
We're from Portland, Oregon.
And how long has Lithics been a band for?
Recently, someone mentioned that it's been about 4 years, and I think that's true. Three and change, but about four.
And who else is in the band Lithics?
Aubrey Horner sings and plays guitar, Mason Crumley plays guitar, and Wiley Hickson plays drums.
And how did everyone in the band first meet each other?
We had just known each other around town and in the music scene for a while. Mason and Aubrey used to be in a band together called Formica Man. And Wiley and I were in bands that toured together and played lots of shows together. So it was just kind of a natural thing. We just decided to play together one day. No good story there, unfortunately.
And so right now, I know you're playing an in-store today, but you were on tour with Stephen Malcolmus?
Yes, we are, for the entire month of June.
And how's that been going so far?
It's been cool. We've had mostly positive receptions. I know we're kind of a little different than the Jicks stylistically, but the people seem to be into it, and it's nice to play to people every night, which if we went on tour by ourselves, that probably wouldn't be the case. So it's been nice. Steve's a really great guy, and I don't know, having fun.
How did you get hooked up with him to go on tour?
We had played shows with the Jix drummer Jake's other band called Blessed Chest. I think Jake just was into it and asked us along, because they haven't toured this much in about 3 years. So they just put a record out and decided to do like a big round of touring. So we went on this sort of Midwest and East Coast leg with them. They're very nice to ask us.
I think it's about 100 degrees here today at Bull City Records. This is the hottest show you've played on tour so far?
This is the hottest show we've probably played, I think, ever. But I mean, we're not like, the West Coast doesn't, it can get hot, but it doesn't get as humid and sticky. So it felt, we were kind of feeling it today, but it was, everybody's nice and as pleasant as possible, given the humidity.
Is this the first time that Lithics has played in North Carolina?
Oh yeah, definitely. We did a short East Coast tour in March of 2017, and we just did mostly, I think the furthest south we went was Washington, D.C. So it was just like New York, Philly, and D.C. and that. So this is our first venture into the south.
Have you played outside of the United States so far?
We played some shows in Canada, in Vancouver, B.C., and we just played Toronto and Montreal with the Jix, and that was our first time there. We have a European tour lined up for September.
You have a new album that just came out. It's called Mating Surfaces.
This is true. Yeah, it came out at the end of May.
And what label is that on?
It's on Kill Rock Stars.
How did you first get hooked up with Kill Rock Stars?
These days, and for the last several years, Kill Rock Stars has been based out of Portland. And like at one time, Aubrey worked there. And we're friendly with Ben Parrish, who's kind of one of the main guys over there right now. And Ben had been helping us out as a band, just as a friend for a long time, and I know he was into it and was always really helpful and sort of generous with his time. And then one day just was like, hey guys, I think if you want to put an album out on KRS, we could do it. And so we talked it over and said, yeah, okay, totally.
Does Lithics ever do cover songs live?
Not really. We kind of disagree on covers. Like, we tried to do a Gary Glitter cover for a while, and then it was just, like, not happening. Then last Halloween, we decided to do a Devo cover set, and it was that. So that was, like, really the only time we played anything out, and we did a pretty, like, maybe 5 songs or something. And we want to try and make a habit of it, so every Halloween try and do a Devo set.
How did that go?
Went well. It was really fun. We played at a house, which we had no business really fitting enough people into. It was really uncomfortable. Everybody was way younger than us, which was funny. It was really great, and it was actually a cool lesson in songwriting to sort of work out the Devo songs, because of this learning their structures. They're definitely one of our favorite bands collectively. So
do you have a favorite Lithic song to play live?
Usually it's whatever the newest one is, and I think I can speak for everybody with that. There's some that are kind of hard to play live and that have gotten easier. We have a song called Boyce that we actually didn't do tonight, but it's our longest song that we've ever written. It's like 5 minutes or something, but that one has been really fun for me to play on this tour, when it used to be kind of hard, but it's just intense concentration on my part, but I like it a lot.
What are some great bands to check out in the Portland area?
Oh man, there's a lot. There's a band called Conditioner that we played a lot of shows with, who I really like, and Cool Flowers, and a lot of the bands have Collate. A lot of the bands have the same members. Like, it's a very sort of incestuous scene.
I love Collate, and I like Erica's radio show Futures and Past.
Oh yeah, she's the best. She's got great taste and was like an early sort of champion of what we were doing, and very encouraging. I'm trying to think. There's Honeybucket and Woolen Men and Lox. There's like a bunch. It's just so many bands that I really get into in Portland, so I could go on.
So if someone's ever been to Portland before, what should they check out when they get there?
The things that people come to Portland to see are usually donuts and food carts and all craft beer and coffee and all this stuff that's I don't care about. I would say if you like nature, Portland is still a very beautiful place. Like, outside of Portland in the Gorge and Forest Park, and the Oregon coast is really beautiful. And it's just the Northwest is, it rains a lot 9 months out of the year. But if you're there from July through September, it's incredibly beautiful.
So you have a song on your new album. It's called Excuse Generator. Is there a story behind that song?
It's not the first time I've been asked that. I don't write the lyrics, so I'm not totally qualified to speak on them. I know from talking to Aubrey that it's more based on imagery. I think most of her lyrics are more based on imagery and like sequencing the imagery than it is on a literal like narrative. And people were saying, talk to somebody recently who was kind of like, oh, is it about a breakup? And like had some sort of logic for that that kind of made sense. And then we were like, no, it's not really about anything that literal. And I think Aubrey's influenced more by like poetry and Beefheart and Jackson McLowe and people who are kind of more about imagery.
So it's a little more interpretive rather than a literal.
It's meaning. Yeah, it's like an abstraction of things she sees, and she jots down lines occasionally and will somehow work them into the song later on. And I don't know, she has her own process that I'm not totally privy to, but I know that she doesn't sit down and write like a ballad or anything, you know.
I was going to say I like the way the songs are laid out, because they're not, they do seem to have a very abstract meaning behind them, and kind of reminds me a little bit of the vibe with Wire, where you can't always tell what they're singing about, but it always sounds interesting either way.
Oh yeah, they're a really big influence on us, not just musically, but also kind of process wise like finding, reading about how they conceptually approached music had a pretty big impact on me when I was younger. And there was a time where I used to listen to Pink Flag 3 times a week, just get really into it. It's hard to get away from that influence for sure. We're big Wire heads.
But I do have to mention the song Edible Door. It keeps making me think of like a door made out of chocolate.
Somebody was saying that he would run listening to that on his headphones, and it reminded him of his own knees failing him or something. But yeah, I have no idea. It's kind of interesting to just let people imagine whatever they want, like listening to it, or let the imagery kind of speak to them in its own way. I'm sure all four of us have a different idea about all the songs, like as far as what we associate with it in our minds.
I know you did a couple of sessions on KEXP, right?
Yeah, we did 2 in studios there.
Have you done other radio or TV gigs? I think I saw you do a cable access show, is that right?
Oh yeah, that was early on. We got invited onto this guy Ross's cable access show in Portland, and pretty much just an empty studio with a green screen. And we kind of thought, oh, it'd be interesting to like invite a bunch of friends and then have a kind of loose concept. So we kind of told everybody, oh, just bring something to do, or we'll give you something like basic to do. And it ended up kind of just being pretty funny. Like we didn't tell him beforehand that we were doing it, so he was pretty overwhelmed, and it went well. Yeah, that was really fun. But we also just played on WFMU the other day, and on Evan Davies' show. We played on WFMU about 1.5 years ago before the last time we were in New York for Liz Berg's show, and we love FMU, so that was always a treat.
It's probably one of the best radio stations in the whole country.
Oh yeah, that a point that was not lost on us. The place is excellent.
What is their studio like?
It's really cool. I didn't get to look around this time, but when we played on Liz's show, she showed us all the rooms and the stuff. The one thing that stuck out to me, or one of the things that stuck out to me, was in one of the studios they have a glass case with a cassette in it, and there's like a hammer attached with a string, and it said "Break and play upon Bob Dylan's death." And it's like the Bob Dylan's death broadcast that they recorded on a tape. And so they're waiting, like, one of these days. It's going to happen. They're ready for it. So
wow.
I thought that was pretty hilarious. Yeah. Not Bob Dylan's death being hilarious. I'm a Bob right. Dylan fan, but just funny concept.
Right. They should do mine for Keith Richards, but that'll probably never happen. So
it's going to happen one of these days.
Right.
He's holding out.
I noticed that Henry Rollins on his KCRW show plays Lithics a whole lot. He seems to be a big fan of you guys.
Yeah, he got in touch, said, oh, he picked up our record at Strange World in Melbourne, Australia, which was pretty cool in and of itself. He was like, I want to play you on my podcast if I could have a download or whatever, and we ended up chatting a little bit through email, and he was very kind, and it was really neat to hear from him.
Is that a weird thought that it's all come full circle, that someone you were really into is now really into you?
Well, yeah, it's really cool. I think for him, it seems like he's pretty in touch with a lot of what's going on with younger bands, and he's not like aloof or kind of like, it seems like he makes a point of checking out new music, and I think that's pretty neat.
So basically you have to go to Australia to find out about the great American bands.
Well, we appreciate Strange World telling people about us. Hopefully we plan to go to Australia at some point. We'd love, that's like a dream of mine, is to tour Australia and New Zealand. So
do you like a lot of the bands in Australia? Because I noticed they have a really vibrant scene over there in the last few years.
Yeah, I was really into this band called Sky Needle, who kind of played on, like, I think they were from Perth, so it was kind of the opposite end of the continent, but it was like a, you know, homemade instruments, and it was a really hard to describe band. I don't know if they're still around, but yeah, that was one band I was really into. New Zealand especially is like what the whole Flying Nun records, you know, that was a big, like, I'm a huge Roy Montgomery fan in all of his groups and over the years, and so it would be like a dream to go over there and play sometime.
Are you big into the band Terry from Melbourne? I just interviewed them recently.
Oh, cool. I'm not super familiar with their music, but a lot of my friends really like them, and they're kind of a band I've been meaning to check out.
Yeah, they're fantastic. I think that a Terry Lytics tour or bill would go really great.
Oh, yeah, we're up for it for sure.
How many releases does Lytics have so far?
We have two proper full lengths, and then we had an EP that we put out last summer in a pretty short run on cassette called the Wendy Kramer EP that was all demos and sort of practice recordings, things I did on my reel-to-reel or on 4-track or whatever, and something like phone recordings. It was just kind of a mishmash, of like more of like an audio collage. That one we ended up putting up on Bandcamp is just a download, like a name your price download. And it's, for me, that's like my personal favorite thing that we've done, I think. Like, it's the closest to my heart.
And where can people go online if they want to hear Lytics music?
Well, definitely Bandcamp is probably the best place. I think it's, the new album is on Spotify in part. We only put up a few songs so that people would still buy it. And then I know it might be on like Apple Music. And
or Google's your friend, you'll find it, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Use your resourcefulness and type our name into Google. So.
Well, thanks for talking to us today on Damaged Goods Radio.
Thanks for having me.
All right. And we are back here on Damaged Goods. And my name is, of course, still Matt Dunn. And my co-host, Seth, he is off for the evening. And he's actually preparing for his DJ night tonight. He's DJing Goth Night at a club in downtown Raleigh called Ruby Deluxe. So if you're in the area, that's definitely a fun night to check out. But I do want to thank the band Lytics for sitting down with me for an interview. I was really happy to finally get to see them. And they are on tour right now with Stephen Malkmus and the Jicks, as I mentioned before. So if they come to your town, you definitely don't want to miss their set. And yes, I did want to play some more music here. We're going to start out with a track from the Lytics new album, of course. We should start out with a track by them. The song is called Edible Door, which we just discussed in the interview. It's on their new album called Mating Surfaces. We also have some cool new music from Natalie from Knots. The singer from Knots has a new electronic side project called Optic Sync, which is really cool. Also, new music from a band called Iguana Death Cult, which I think they're from Holland. I don't know anything about them, but I know that they are on a label called Six Tons de Chair, which is a cool French, like a small DIY label out of France. And they have definitely sent us a lot of music. So I know, like, whenever I see the name Six Tons de Chair, it's probably going to be a really cool release. So we're going to play a new track by them called Femme Fatale. Also a brand new band out of New York City. They're called Pearl. There's a track called Omaha. They just released a demo on Bandcamp. And I don't know if they played any shows or anything yet, but the demo is really cool. So I'm excited to play that. And what else? Also, a band called CCFX, which I think is somewhat connected to the band Gen Pop, which we played on the show last week. I should say we interviewed them on the show last week. Also, a cool band, a cool new wave Canadian band from the like late 70s, early 80s called Visible Targets. I was just turned on to them from a Courtney from Girlsville Records just turned me on to them. It's really cool stuff. So I'm going to quit talking. We'll play some more music. So here is Lithics with their track Edible Door.
If you'd like to stream full episodes of the weekly show for free, including lots of cool tunes, go to our website, damagegoodsradio.com, and click on the blog or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, on the street, or wherever else you can find us.